Royal Mandi, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, www.wikipedia.org, as read by Fearson. Royal Mandi is a religious service in the Church of England held on Monday, Thursday, the day before Good Friday. At the service, the British monarch or a royal official ceremonially distributes small silver coins known as Mandi money, legally the Queen's Mandi money, as symbolic alms to elderly recipients. The coins are legal tender but do not circulate because of their silver content and numismatic value. A small sum of ordinary money is also given in lieu of gifts of clothing and food that the sovereign once bestowed on Mandi recipients. The name Mandi and the ceremony itself derive from an instruction or mandatum of Jesus Christ at the Last Supper that his followers should love one another. In the Middle Ages, English monarchs washed the feet of beggars in imitation of Jesus and presented gifts and money to the poor. Over time, additional money was substituted for the clothing and other items that had once been distributed. Beginning in 1699, the monarch did not attend the service, sending an official in his place. The custom of washing the feet did not survive the 18th century. In 1931, Princess Mary Louise was at Royal Mandi and afterwards suggested that her cousin, King George V, make the distributions the following year, which he did, beginning a new royal custom. Traditionally, the service was held in or near London, in most years in the early 20th century at Westminster Abbey. Today, Queen Elizabeth II almost always attends. She has been absent only 4 times in her reign, and the service is held in a different church, usually a cathedral, every year. Recipients are once chosen for their poverty and were entitled to remain as Mandi recipients for life. Today, the new recipients are chosen every year for their service to the churches or communities, on the recommendation of clergymen of various Christian denominations. Generally, recipients live in the diocese where the service is held, although this was altered for 2011. Mandi money is struck in denominations of 1 penny, 2 pence, 3 pence, and 4 pence. Until the 18th century, the coins were from the circulating coinage, and it was not until the later half of the century that the 4 Mandi coins developed as distinct, non-circulating pieces. The obverse design of the coins features the reigning monarch. The reverse, with a crown numeral enclosed by a wreath, derives from a design first used during the reign of William and Mary, and which has been virtually unaltered since 1822. In almost all years, there are fewer than 2,000 complete sets of Mandi money. They are highly sought after by collectors. Origins, early and medieval history. The word Mandi derives from the command or mandatum by Christ of the Last Supper to love one another. The Gospel relates that on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus Christ ate a meal with his disciples. After the meal, it is recorded that Jesus washed their feet and gave them the following mandatum or command, quote, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you," unquote. Mandatum is the derivation of the word Mandi, and the Royal Mandi service evolved around Jesus' command to his disciples. By the 4th or 5th century, a ceremony had been developed following Holy Communion on Mandi Thursday, in which high church leaders washed the feet of the poor. The ceremony, known as the Pedilavium, was performed daily in some monasteries. In 992, Bishop Oswald of Worcestershire died during its performance. The first English monarch to be recorded as giving gifts of small silver coins to the poor is John, who in 1213 gave 13 pence to each of 13 poor men at a ceremony in Rochester, the number being symbolic of the 12 apostles together with either Jesus or an angel. John may have also given to the poor of Knaresborough, Yorkshire, in 1210. Few details of the 13th century Monday survive. They are known to have existed from records which show the spending necessary for the gifts to the poor. The monarch was not alone in performing the rituals of the Monday service. Henry III's children assisted him as part of their political and religious training. Henry's son, Edward I, was the first monarch to keep the Monday only on or about Monday, Thursday. Before Edward, additional Mondays might be kept during the year. According to Virginia Cole in her study of royal children's role in the 13th century Monday, the service had become a political purpose as well, as the very act of needing to humble himself by doing the pendavium proclaimed the monarch's greatness. Attendance at a Monday service became an obligation for all major European ruling houses. By 1363, the British monarch performed the pendavium and also gave gifts, which is both the number of pence given and the number of recipients equal to the monarch's age. That year, 50-year-old Edward III gave 50 pence to each of 50 poor men. The ceremony was not always performed on Monday, Thursday. It could be postponed a day to Good Friday by royal command, as it was in 1510. Nobles could hold their own Monday distributions, as did Henry Percy, 5th Earl of Northumberland in early 16th century, according to a contemporary record. Quote, "My lord useth and accompanieth yearly upon the said Monday Thursday, when his lordship at my home give yearly as many purses of leather, with as many pennies as in every purse to as many poor men as his lordship is years of age, and one for the year of my lord's age to come." Unquote. Although Mary I and Elizabeth I differed religiously, both performed elaborate Monday ceremonies. Records from 1556 showed that Mary washed the feet of 41 poor women, reflecting her age, while ever on her knees, and gave them 41 pence each, as well as gifts of bread, fish, and clothing, donating her own gown to the woman said to be the poorest of all. In 1572, disliking the scenes as each woman tried to secure a piece of the royal gown, Elizabeth granted a sum of £1 to each recipient in lieu of the gown, giving it in a red purse. Contemporary writer William Lombardi noted that the money was substituted for the gown, quote, "to avoid trouble of the suit, which was a custom ile, was made for that perfeminate," unquote. In years in which plague was rife, the monarch did not attend, sending an official, usually the Lord High Almoner, to make distributions and perform the pendavium. Although scented water was used to disguise any unpleasant odors from the poor, the feet were washed 3 times before the monarch performed the pendavium, once by a menial and twice by court officials. In later years, sweet-smelling nosegays were used to disguise odors. The nosegays are still carried today. Post-Restoration. Charles I rarely attended the Royal Monday service. Author Brian Robinson, who traced the development of Royal Monday, suggests that after the Restoration, his son, Charles II, attempted to gain popularity by assiduous attendance and distribution of money at the service. Charles II even attended during the plague years of 1661 and 1663. His brother and successor, James II, performed the ceremony as well, although there is a record of William III doing so in 1698. Most sources state that James was the last to wash the feet of the poor himself in 1685. There is no record of any attendance by a monarch at the Royal Monday service after 1698 until 1932, but pre-1725 records are vague. The Lord High Almoner continued to perform the pendavium at the Monday ceremony until 1737. Today, only traces of the pendavium at Royal Monday are the nosegays and the linen towels worn by several of the officials. The service was usually held somewhere near London. This was done to suit the monarch's convenience. In medieval times, it was held in Windsor, Eton, Richmond, Greenwich, or whatever the monarch happened to be at Easter time. In 1714, with the monarch no longer present at the ceremony, the service was moved to the Chapel Royal, Whitehall, where it remained until 1890, when the chapel was given to the Royal United Services Institute. After 1890, by the order of Queen Victoria, it was moved to Westminster Abbey, though in years when there was a coronation and the abbey was closed for preparations, the service was held at St. Paul's Cathedral. From 1954 to 1970, it was held in even-numbered years at Westminster and in odd-numbered years at provincial cathedrals, since it has, in most years, been held outside London. When the service was confined to London, recipients were customarily householders who had met their financial obligations to society but had since fallen on hard times. The number of recipients continued to track the monarch's age until the joint reign of William and Mary. The recipients were of the same sex as the monarch. During that reign, each of the monarchs made gifts to the poor people of their sex, but after the death of Mary, only men received gifts from King William, beginning with the reign of George I. Both men and women have received gifts, each sex in a number corresponding to the monarch's age, each recipient receiving that number of pence. Despite the monarch's absence, the ceremony was held each year, with Lord High Almoner, or the Sub-Almoner, deputizing for the sovereign. The gift of clothing was eliminated for women beginning in 1724, as the recipients immediately tried on the gifts and exchanged ill-fitting ones with each other, a practice thought unseemly in a church. The women were instead given 35 shillings. For men, the clothing gift was replaced by woolen cloth of that year. Men continued to be given cloth until 1883, when royal officials realized that many of the recipients were too poor to have the cloth made into garments and were instead selling it. Men were given 45 shillings in lieu of cloth, an amount increased in 1973 to £3 for both men and women. There is a record of the 1802 Royal Monday. It notes that the recipients were given 4 pounds of beef and 4 threepenny loaves. After the 1837 Monday, King William IV ordered that as the recipients were selling the food gift for less than its full value, they were to be given 30 shillings in food, which was sometimes sold by the recipients as little as 5 shillings. It was to be replaced by a money gift of 30 shillings. This amount is still given. The same year, a report of the civil list written for the House of Commons proposed eliminating the Royal Monday, considering that the sum distributed annually as alms and charity is applied in a manner suited rather to ancient than modern times and is attended with some expense. It may not be inexpedient to consider whether the purpose of the royal benevolence might not be more fully attained if some other and better mode of distribution were adopted. King William's death at the age of 71 that year and the accession of 18-year-old Queen Victoria resulted in a dramatic drop in the number of Monday recipients, as at that time a Monday recipient continued in that status for life. The surplus recipients were placed on waiting lists and given royal charity through other means. One vacancy occurred a week before the 1838 Monday, when Monday recipient Elizabeth Love died at the age of 110. In 1843, the Illustrated London News described a Monday ceremony. On the day alluded to the certain number of poor men and women of each of the exact number of our sovereign's age attended the divine worship in the Royal Chapel, Whitehall, in the morning and afternoon. Bread, meat, and fish is distributed to them in large wooden bowls, and a procession form of the Royal Almoner or Sub-Almoner with other officers, who are decorated with white scarves and sashes, and each carrying a bouquet of flowers. One of the officers supports a large gold dish or salver, on which is placed a small red and white leather bags, the red containing a sovereign the white containing the pieces, teamed Monday Money. One of each of these bags is given to the person selected to receive the royal bounty. They have likewise given to them cloth, linen, shoes, etc., as well as small maple cup, out of which previous to the termination of the ceremony, they drink the Queen's health. These small pieces are, by the order of the government, declared current coins of the realm. Therefore, no one dare refuse to take them if offered in payment. Still, they are not in reality intended for that purpose. The drinking of the monarch's health, which is believed to have originated with the custom of the loving cup, was abolished in the 19th century, although the exact date is uncertain. In the early 20th century, members of the royal family sometimes attended the Royal Monday service. Queen Alexandra twice was present. Most Royal Monday ceremonies in the first part of the century were attended by Princess Helena or by her daughter, Princess Mary Louise. In 1931, Mary Louise was present at the Royal Monday and suggested after the service that her cousin, King George V, make the distributions the following year. King George did so in 1932, the only time he was at the service during his reign. In 1936, the year of the King George's death, the new king, Edward VIII, made the distribution. George VI, who succeeded King Edward on his abdication late in 1936, did not attend until 1940, and then not again until 1944, his place being taken in most years by the Lord High Almoner, Cosmo Gordon Lang, Archbishop of Canterbury. Queen Elizabeth II has been present for all but four Royal Monday services of her long reign. She was absent twice following childbirth, and twice because she was visiting other parts of the Commonwealth. She first attended Royal Monday as Princess Elizabeth of York in 1935. Until 1956, a recipient once chosen for the Monday service had the right to continue to be a recipient for life. In 1957, with the service leaving London for the first time in over two centuries, this became impractical, and it was decided that, in future years, recipients would attend only once. To honor the promise to the surviving lifetime appointees, they were given the opportunity to attend whenever the service was held in London, and were sent the equivalent sum by post in years when it was not.